This is RSBNB Update, episode 322, recorded Thursday, August 18th, 2011, The Moralizer. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of RSBNB Update. I'm going to try and make it through this episode, but if not, somebody is here who will be able to take the reins and who has experience in that kind of thing. It's the mythical version one of Brad.
Hello, everybody.
Sounding ever so like he used to sound. I don't know what you sound like. You sound like pessimistic or...
Pessimistic. Yeah. Who knows what I sound like, Shane? That's for the people to decide.
So, you're here, and, you know, it's been a while. Yeah.
It's been a while.
We got the show off the ground, which is good.
Yeah.
And there haven't been any fireworks.
That's because I've not been here.
Well, no, I mean, today.
Oh, yes, today, right. That's because I've not been here.
Yeah, that's right. So... I want to talk about the RuneScape updates this week. Then, actually, after the RS updates, I just want to take a few minutes and ask you what you actually thought about the free trade and wilderness coming back. But we'll get to that at the end of RS updates.
Dum, dum, dum.
So, right. This week brings us the Temple Trekking revamp.
Ooh. Is this one of these updates? I remember them having these kind of updates back when I used to take an interest in RuneScape, where... they release an update that is so obviously crap and is not worth doing, whether it be a quest or more often a mini game, and then sometime later they feel the need to revamp it to make it worth people's time.
Yes, except Temple Trekking came out many, many years ago. Like
I remember when Temple Trekking came out. That's why I'm slightly confused.
Yeah, so this is the rework
rubbish,
of
it.
It. Yeah, so
did you have to do it? Sorry, didn't you have to do Temple Trekking as part of a quest?
No, you'd have to do it to get the lumberjack clothes.
Oh, yeah, that's the one. The objective,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one Mike spent 40 hours doing, and I spent 9.
Yeah.
So, anyways, they have made it a little bit more generous in that first thing they say, or one of the first things they say in relation to rewards, is that lumberjack clothes will be easier to obtain now.
Yay.
Which, you know, some people were kind of upset about, but, you know, that comes with the territory. You just got to be happy that you got it when you got it.
Oh, that's standard fare in MMORPGs. You know, spend hours and hours of pointless playtime to get a certain item just because you want to get it because it's difficult to get, and then, you know, a couple of weeks after you've got it, it's suddenly made freely available to everybody.
Yep, that's right. So,
and you die a little inside.
Well, I don't know if you would die a little inside. I guess if you were really into temple trekking and into your lumberjack outfit, I guess you would. But anyways, the changes on this are quite extensive, all the way from limiting the number of people that you can guide through the place to increasing their AI and adding levels onto them. So basically, you now have... 6 people that you have to guide through and level up all the way to level 99, and you don't get to choose which one. In the old temple trekking, you would get to choose which one you would take with you, but now each one is just given based on a difficulty level, and then you choose that, and then when you run back and forth with that one, he or she will gain levels and become more useful to you as you go along. So, for instance, there's the mage called Pazuzu. Pazuzu. That's an interesting name, don't you think?
Where's the name?
Pazuzu. P-A-Z-U-Z-U.
P-Z-U.
P-A-Z-U-Z-U.
So, Pazuzu.
Yes. When he levels up at level 20, he'll get the ability to cast Bind. At 66, he can cast Vulnerability. At 75, Fire Wave and Staff of Light. And when you reach him to level 85, you will receive the Construction Gloves, which we'll get to in a moment. So aside from the fact that the people are smarter and can use weapons and you can actually give them food to use, aside from all that, they've actually changed the way that the game works in that, do you remember when it first came out, you would just choose an easy, medium, or hard path at the beginning and that would be the path you choose?
Yep.
Okay. Now what happens is after each encounter, you are able to choose easy, medium, or hard again. If the past one was too easy or too hard, you can change which way you want to go. So
do you still, you know, because I remember you used to, it literally was one of three paths that would highlight on a map. So if you start going down the easy path, do you suddenly hop over the bush to the medium path or what?
Well, no, it's like a graphical interface. You just click based on, there's three actual paths that you click on.
Oh, what, like splits in the path?
Yeah, like forks in the road, yeah.
Well, depending on how many encounters there are, wouldn't there be an awfully lot of splits? Because you'd start off with three, and each of those three would have three.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And each of those three would have to have three, and then each of those...
Yeah, but the thing ends after a short period of time anyway, so it's not like...
How many encounters?
Well, I did three and I was doing the easy one, so I'd assume the hard one would probably go up to 10, medium somewhere between 5 or 6.
Hmm.
So, they've also added new events. I think two new events were added, so that, of course, spices things up a bit, meaning it's not going to be the exact same game content as before, so... That's good, I guess. I never particularly took an interest in this aside from getting the lumberjack gear, so.
I always viewed it as one of those sort of just things in the game that you never do because it's not really worth
doing. Yeah, exactly. It's kind of like Dungeoneering, you know? Dungeoneering has no worth except for the weapons and stuff, but, you know, you do.
It's just like one big mini game, really, isn't it?
Yes, that's right.
That they've bundled as a skill because new skills get more subscribers.
Yep. So, anyways, the other people you can guide are Dean, Velio, Jayeen, Klein, Smitty, Ryak, Zachary, Bragg, and Rolaine Twicket.
They all have stupid names.
The Rolaine Twicket one at level 20 has an ability called New Hips, which gives a person the ability to run.
Okay.
And at level 40, they use a walking stick.
Is this an old woman by any chance?
It seems like it, because then at level 80, there's something called Not Dead Yet, which is a special attack to
damage. That's gallows humor. Well, not gallows
then
humor.
At level 99, get this, well-aged, ability to cast the airstrike spell.
Oh, Jagex, your sense of humor has never failed to...
And you know what level airstrike is, right?
Yes, the level 1 spell.
So. At least it wasn't the level 0 one. The rush, wind rush. You know, there's a new magic spell at level 0 that just requires 2 air runes, and it's less powerful than airstrike. It's called wind rush.
Well, because they thought that wind strike was overpowered.
No, because new people needed something that they could cast without... whatever they're called,
body runes?
No, without the mind runes.
Oh, mind runes.
Yeah, without those, because you know you need airstrike or mind runes to cast airstrike, so you don't need those with the rush one. But
how the game has changed since I left.
Yep, and as you know,
as I know what?
Oh, never mind. I thought you would, but... Anyway, so basically...
No, I know what you wanted me to say then, and I will not say it.
The game has been... Or this mini-game has been made more modern, added modern rewards, and the NPCs have been made more intelligent. So let's get down to the rewards now. Previously, you would only have a certain range of these item rewards. For instance, you get max 102 coal, but if you do exceptionally well, now you get 145, 241 bowstrings, 152 silver bars, 666 pure essence, max of 26 water seeds and 100 grimy herbs, or 80 raw shark.
100 grimy herbs, eh?
Yeah. So. Then, of course, there's also the same tomes of experience from before, so that hasn't changed. But then there are the extra rewards that come from leveling your people. So once all the 6 people combined reach level 100, you receive the ability to change the destination of the swamp gates to lead to the Nature Spirits Grotto. At 200, you get the Constructor's Hat, 300 Constructor's Trouser, and 400 Constructor's Garb. Now, these Constructor's Gears do the same thing as the woodcutting ones do, except for construction, each giving a total of 2.4% boost when you're all once you have all the pieces to your construction skill. So
that doesn't look like an outfit that a construction worker would wear. It looks like an outfit that an assassin would wear.
The one of the constructor's outfit there?
Yeah, and the knowledge base.
Oh, yeah, you know that. I don't know. You know, it does have the foot protection though. Like in case you
actually, it looks like something a gypsy or something. It does.
Do you have something against gypsies?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Because I don't know what they're like in the United States or Canada, but here gypsies most commonly are the sort of people that travel around in caravans, don't pay any tax, commit petty theft, and usually end up setting out camp on a roundabout or at the side of a main road for a couple of days until they get moved on.
Okay.
Scott.
Anyway, at level 500, you unlock a teleport to Burg Dorad on the minigames necklace, and at level 594, you receive the Ghast Familiar, which you can buy a pouch for 50k GP.
What do they do?
The Ghast Familiar by itself will prevent food from rotting if you have it out when you're in the swamp. Requires 87 summoning, and if you use the scrolls on it, it heals, I think, up to 10 prayer points per scroll. So it's definitely worth having.
But the food thing on its own is pointless because there was that pouch you could have that would prevent that.
Yeah. Yeah, but the problem with this is that 50k GP per pouch.
That is expensive.
Why wouldn't you just use that, as you mentioned, and the prayer potions, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
it will also this will give you prayer XP for any damage it inflicts. So if you use it in combat, you can get prayer XP.
I never knew a great deal about summoning because I didn't really bother with it that much. But can you store scrolls? They don't stack.
Yes.
They can stack.
Scrolls do stack, yes.
So it's expensive, but it could be potentially more, allow you to sort of store more prayer points as it was than prayer potions.
Yeah, well, the thing is, 40, like, you could probably, I don't know how much the special bar uses, but I'd assume, like, you could restore 40 prayer points almost instantly, but the thing is with this is that once it's out, you basically need to wait for that special bar on the summoning familiar to recharge. So it's not a total replacement for prayer potions, but you know, in a pinch. For like Slayer tasks, it would be a good idea. But I think I'd rather just pay for prayer potions. I don't think I'd want to pay 50k for this. You know,
isn't this another classic Jagex that one of the higher level rewards of a new update is something that is, in actual fact, useless when you compare it up against the alternative options for performing that particular functional role.
Yeah, that's true. But you know, one thing I've discovered in the game in the past is that there are odd people out there who like to use these methods.
But I mean, not to sound snuffy or elitist, but I thought the whole point with a game like RuneScape or any other MMORPG is that you find the most efficient way of doing something, if it be restoring prayer points because you need to kill a monster that requires you to pray constantly. You find the most efficient way of doing it and you use that. What's the point in using an inefficient method?
Role playing?
Oh, well. Less said about that lot, the better.
So,
That's anyways. Not very nice. Role players are generally nice people.
Yeah, they
unlike
are.
Me. And you.
I'm glad you admit that. Anyway, so that's the temple trekking rework.
I said and you as well.
Oh, I didn't hear that. Oh well. There's really not much else to say about temple trekking, so on to the tweaks and fixes for the week.
Feeks
Along
and twixes.
With this, no, just tweaks and fixes this week.
Feeks and twixes.
They have updated the graphical area of Mauritania and all of its inhabitants, so you can. It looks a bit better, but it looks largely the same if you were to compare it to, say, the Draenor or Edgeville updates. So I don't know, but it seems to be better than it was before. I don't know. It still looks swampy, which is good. So. The trees around the major cities of Lumbridge, Falador, and Varrock have been made taller and more detailed than ever. So the trees we've wanted since the Draenor and Rimington Port Sarum update are now in pretty much all of the free world, so that's a nice sight. Except there's one tiny problem with this.
Being?
Well, the farming trees, like the magic tree and the maple tree. The maple tree looks pink for some reason.
Okay, aren't maples generally pink when they blossom?
I've never... Not our kinds of maple trees here.
Maybe they are. Else.
Maybe they are where you come from, but
maple blossom is... Well, I'm certain there's a variety of maple tree that blossoms pink. Maybe I'm... Oh, no, maybe that was when I did LSD. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I've never done LSD.
Okay. And the magic trees are purple.
It's got to be a...
Take a look at that second link there. That's the maple tree.
Yeah, okay. That looks orangey to me.
Oh, really? Maybe it's my screen. It looks pink
it
to me.
It looks... It does have a sort of pinkish tinge, but it does look orangey to me. Orangey, reddy, pinky. Something in the middle there.
And then... Look at the other one. That's what apparently a magic tree is going to look like.
That looks good.
But how can a tree have purple leaves? I don't get that.
Shane, it's a magic tree in a fantasy kingdom called RuneScape. It doesn't all have to make sense. In this game, by combining together some arbitrary items, you know, you can make a little demon that will follow you around. And your main complaint is, how can the tree have purple leaves? You need to get
last week they were green, and if you go to the other side of the world, they're green still, and now they're purple.
You've been no-lifing. 97.
I don't get that.
83 prayer, 83 summoning.
I'm actually on the road to 95 prayer, actually.
My God, Shane. Find something else to occupy your time, for God's sake.
I have been. I've been flying around when I should be doing prayer.
Flying around?
Yeah, I'll tell you later. Anyways, finally, familiars no longer need to be dismissed when entering the Grand Exchange. Instead, they will be hidden until you leave the area. That took too long.
I can't say it's been a major concern of mine.
Okay. I know whenever I would come off a combat mission or something and then run into the Grand Exchange, you'd hit this invisible wall because the familiars weren't allowed to come with you. So, anyways. That's good. I like that part. It goes nicely with the new Grand Exchange. Anyways. In the patch notes, Oziak has won a case against the Edgeril Reconstruction Committee and as such had his house remodeled free of charge.
Edgeville Reconstruction Committee.
Yes.
That sounds like a bloody quango. Government.
Well, you
money.
Know that. Well, Bastards. Yeah, you know that they have to have those because remember when they contracted out Spades United to build that ditch and then they turned it into a wall? I was disappointed about that.
That was a brilliant ditch.
Yeah, it was. That's why I was disappointed when it became a wall.
Oh, well, anyway. Shane, you know what they say. The more things change, you have a ditch that changes into a wall.
So the only other thing on this that I want to highlight is that players can no longer make planks on a free world by using logs on the sawmill operator.
Okay.
So I'm assuming you would have been able to make planks for free then. So that's good. That's fixed.
Well, they're a bit slow on picking it up, aren't they? I mean, it's got to be at least 2 years. It's a construction game. Well, more than that. Three years.
The thing is that there's so many engine changes. It came out in 06. But the thing is, there's so many... Yes.
No way. 5 years. That's crazy.
The thing is, it probably wasn't in game before. There's just so many engine changes with the area that happens that these bugs crop up like that. That's my assumption anyways.
31st of May 2006. Oh, I feel old. I remember before Slayer came out. This is just...
Yep, me too.
I get major deja vu here.
And you know, the majority of people listening here probably weren't even here before Slayer came out. I remember
the majority
when
of people listening
out.
To this probably weren't even born when Slayer came out.
They probably weren't even around when you were around on this show.
Yeah, the majority of people listening now are probably thinking, who the hell is this well-spoken, awfully witty, and fantastically funny British person? Because I'm not familiar with him at all.
I still think you're like Piers Morgan a bit in that sense.
Did you see Piers Morgan questioning Michelle Bachmann?
No, I didn't.
You didn't see that?
No.
Well, basically, she was on his show flogging her book, and he asked her a few difficult questions, which I won't elaborate on, but she didn't like it, and she walked off.
Really? Okay.
Go Piers. That's all I can say.
Anyways, back on track now, the 5v5 tournament finals. Basically, this is that tournament where you gather a group of five people together for Clan Wars. There were 250 teams. They whittled it down to 16. And the winners will get to face the J-Mods at RuneFest in October. So, the finals, you can find all the information in their Hall of Fame topic if you're interested in following this.
They're having another RuneFest.
Yeah, did you buy tickets?
Is it in London?
Yes.
No, I didn't buy tickets.
Would you go if I would have given you warning beforehand?
No, because I'm completely out of the loop with RuneScape and I haven't actually logged in. Well, I logged into the game the other week, but I haven't actually played for about 2 years. Well, no, probably no. 18 months. Beginning of 2010.
So, and it says a chosen few will get to witness the final battle taking place live on stage in what will be the ultimate PvP face-off to end them all. There's not just a Clan Wars win on the line here. There's a reputation of the Jagex Pro Team at stake. The Pro Team will be taking no prisoners right now, and you can be sure that they are following a strict training regime.
The Jagex Pro Team.
Yeah.
But if they're, you know, system developers, that's a bit of an unfair advantage, don't you think?
Why? What if they have to actually train up an account for this?
That would be funny if they were all told right in, you know, a month. You know, there's going to be a fight. And now I imagine, because when I used to read about professional gaming in MMORPGs before, like World of Warcraft, you actually just get pre-set up accounts with maxed out skills, and then you kit them out how you want them and fight. You don't actually use your own account, so to speak. It's the player more than the actual account. Unless RuneScape do it differently, which they probably will.
These are real people competing, you know? So
yeah, but I assume that's the way it used to be in World of Warcraft, and they just used to get sort of default accounts that they could customize, but they were already maxed out. And then they'd sort of pick setups.
So this tournament should be interesting. I'm hoping they have some kind of video of it somewhere or something, you know?
Probably there'll be some person recording it.
Yeah. Anyway, so you guys can find information on that. And as usual, the notes are at update.rsbnb.com. Links will be there. And finally, refer a friend to receive an XP boost. So if you refer a friend to RuneScape, you'll get a 10% XP boost for 1 week. You can receive these boosts up to 5 times a year. So it's a great way for you to level up those harder to attain skills, they say.
RuneScape can be great fun to play with others. False.
Why not? It is. I mean, remember how much fun we used to have when we'd take, like, walks from Falador all the way up to, like, Sears Village there?
That didn't happen for years. That was, like, back in 2006.
I know. But I'm just saying, we did that and we took your favorite person along with us.
Do you know what really freaks me out? 2006 was 5 years ago. 5 years.
Yep.
5 years I've known, well, more than 5 years I've known you. That's what's scary. And yes, my favorite person was there, as was yours.
So.
Jeff.
Oh, okay.
How is Jeff doing, by the way? Have you heard from him?
He's good. He's doing computer engineering.
Isn't he at MIT?
So. Yep, he is.
Good boy, Jeff. Well done. Not that he's listening to this.
No, but I'll tell him you said that. So anybody you refer will receive a 2x XP multiplier to any skills they train in their first 7 days of playing. This will be used on skills below 30, so it will help them level up to 30 much quicker. So win-win for both of you. Do you want me to refer you so you can start a new account and then subscribe?
No. I'm good, thanks.
Okay. So, you know, this is interesting that they're doing this. They're trying to, it's like they're trying to build the player network even more.
Oh, other MMO, I think almost all MMORPGs have some sort of refer-a-friend system.
Okay. So, this isn't something new then? World of Warcraft?
No, you're saying of course probably not. Oh yeah, World of Warcraft have done loads of iterations of it. World of Warcraft actually, quite funny, a couple of years ago, back when I played World of Warcraft, had a scheme similar to this where it was called something like Resurrect a Friend. Like if you had a friend who had an inactive account or an account that, you know, was formerly a member but now wasn't, if you referred them and they resubscribed, you both got like XP boosts and some free items or something. And people made fun of it because they sort of took it Resurrect as in World of Warcraft dying.
I see.
That's quite funny.
Oh, well, we know 2011 is the year of player retention at Jagex, so why not use player network even more? So,
yeah.
If you have friends that might be interested in playing and subscribing to members, tell them to subscribe and you both get an XP boost.
And if you don't have any friends, you're making the right choices.
No. Friends are a good thing to have. And stop playing with your comb, please.
Unless your friend's name is Shane.
You're playing with your comb, right?
No.
Okay. Alrighty then. So, that's it for RuneScape updates, but I just want to ask you what you thought of the wilderness and free trade coming back, since we haven't talked to you since then.
I've not read about either.
It was saying that there was a vote over the Christmas holidays. The first vote was just a blind vote. You could vote yes only, and if you didn't vote, it was basically the same as saying no. Then there was an actual vote tied to accounts with yes, no, and I don't care. And I think yes won with 92% of the vote.
Can I just confirm, because I've not actually read any of those posts, and I've only sort of heard about it through you and a few other people. It has been restored to exactly how it was before.
Yes.
So it's almost
with the exception that the Grand Exchange is still there and working on a free market.
Good old free market. Economics. My thoughts, well, obviously, to any of you who listened to the show back then, two years ago plus, I always believed that Jagex restoring things to how they were was the right thing to do. I believe my argument always was that their argument that it was to prevent bots was stupid and that, you know, they should come up with better systems to prevent that sort of thing. I mean, again, plenty of other MMORPGs, completely free trade, that you can, you know, you can just open a trade window and give another player whatever you want, and they seem to be able to control gold selling to a degree and botting and things like that without having to drastically sort of ring fence the freedom of a player's actions. So I think it's good, but also in the past sort of couple of hours, more than anything, I was just clicking around the forums and the official forums and just trying to see what's going on, really, because I'm completely out of touch with the RuneScape community. And it does seem to me that bots have become a big problem again. And yes, a lot of people are directly linking this with the changes. I remember reading some posts, whether this is sensationalist or not, I don't know, they're saying the bot problem is worse now than it was before free trade was removed. True or false?
True. It's worse than it was in 2007.
Okay, but I think the knee-jerk reaction of, well, it was all right with restricted trade and the Grand Exchange and the wilderness being different, is poor. I think the fact that there are bots again is a symptom that Jagex somewhere has got something wrong, that their security systems aren't as good as they think they are, and they need to protect
them. And also, the bots were still there when the free trade wasn't there. I mean, like, between 2007 and this February, the bots were still there, but people didn't notice them exactly because the market was still governed by the Grand Exchange changes. But now the massive amount of resources coming in, the market's really able to react. And
that's a very interesting way of looking at it, and it's probably extremely true. They were always there. They didn't have a reason to make themselves hugely known because they couldn't really do their thing. Or the only way that Jagex was able to prevent the bots, so to speak, was sort of blocking their supply lines. But in doing so, blocking the supply lines of every other player. So
continue.
Sorry. No, go ahead.
No, I lost my train of thought.
Okay. In summary, really, of my thoughts, I think it was good. I have noticed in my discussions with Shane that Jagex do seem to be sort of moving away from we know best towards rather more populist decision making. Obviously, bringing that back bringing back the wilderness of free trade is a sign of that. But I think they need to get their stuff together in regards to these bots, because I mean, any company with the ability to build and maintain a universe the size of RuneScape, and you know, who claims to have, you know, brilliant algorithms that can spot suspicious activity and ban these accounts without having to sort of napalm blanket an entire area of accounts, should be able to deal with this stuff better. I mean, it can't be that they're appearing, leveling, and then producing faster than Jagex can ban them, because the thing about RuneScape is, you know, it does take a lot of time to level. And if you've got accounts that are logged in 24 hours a day leveling, well, that should flag up as suspicious on the system. I think it's good that they've brought those things back, and it was the right thing to do. Sadly, it took them as long as it did to do it. But they need to sort out these bots through a more sort of, I think they need to be a bit more clever, really. I mean, I don't know their system, so I can't say how they're not being clever. But
that's the thing. We can just speculate from here on the outside, and there's other things that have been said too. I mean, I showed you that forum posting about what the shares are like at Jagex, but once again, it's just a forum post, and we can't guarantee that or anything. So there's lots of factors at play that we don't know about what brought the wilderness and free trade back, and what the actual inside situation is on bots.
It was right to bring it back there.
Okay.
It's almost like the Soviet Union, really. You know,
except
they're
the reverse?
Bringing back.
Or no,
not really.
Bringing back.
Because them bringing back the wilderness and free trade was like perestroika and glasnost.
Yeah, you know, I think I might have mentioned that on the week that this came out.
Mod MMG is Gorbachev. Andrew can be Thatcher.
Maybe. Anyways. Thank you for that. We're going to move on to the questions right now. We got 7 audio questions this week that Brad was very he was suffering by the end of listening to all these. So
I don't think that we had 7 audio questions cumulative in like the 3 years I did the show, and now we've got 7 in 1 week.
Yeah, and Records 8, actually, in an audio question only week.
Well done, people.
So, we will get started right there.
Questions.
And first one is from Pris.
Hello, Shane and guest. I have two questions for you this week.
My name is Brad, not guest.
Do you believe girls exist in the internet?
No.
And on the Edge Village graphics update last week, OCS House did not receive an update. Why do you think it was left out?
Well, quite clearly there are girls in the internet. I think there are more than people like to let on, partially due to the fact that, it's just something that most people don't expect there to be. But I think it's a twofold problem. One, of the majority of people not expecting them to be there and not entertaining the idea. And two, of the girls not coming out and just... in general, keeping in hiding. I think if both those things were to go down, it would probably appear to start to look more equal.
You know what, Shane? I agree. There are girls on the internet. You are a massive girl. That's all I have to say on the matter.
Come on. Be serious. Do you think there's
girls on the internet? Of course there are girls on the internet.
Okay, it's just, good. We just...
It's just a bit of a joke, isn't it? When you go, there are no girls. Like, oh, you're not a girl. You must be a guy. It's just a bit of harmless fun.
Yeah, didn't you used to have a group of friends that you'd play World of Warcraft with that you met online, and weren't like 3 out of 5 of them female from nearby there?
Well, it gets a bit convoluted, but I did know there were 4 people who I played World of Warcraft directly with who I met up, and 2 of them were girls, yes.
Okay, well, there you go. So
that's not representative of all the people I played World of Warcraft with.
No.
Overall, it was probably like 10-15% females.
Okay. As for the second part, we mentioned that earlier up in the patch notes. His house just did get missed, so that has been fixed.
Do you know what? What's really weird about this, I think the person who asked this question, Pris, has been around RSPNB for a while. Do you know if that's correct?
Yep. Yes, that is correct.
I think I have
you know,
this really
she
weird...
she used to be friends with?
Yes, because I have a memory of me, Pris, and this third person being somewhere and killing things. In RuneScape, obviously, not in real life. That would be weird. No, in RuneScape. I think it was some dungeon or something. I just remember. I can remember her name, because it's quite distinctive in RuneScape, such a short name that doesn't have loads of numbers on it. Shane12088. Yeah, blast from the past there. Very strange. That must have been at least 5+ years ago. Look at me reminiscing about things that happened 5 years ago. How pathetic am I?
And if you know who the third person was, then bonus points to you. Next one is from Jackabooney.
Hi, Jackabooney. I just had a quick question.
Okay.
This is more about World of Warcraft and RS, but it could apply.
Well, this is a RuneScape podcast.
If Blizzard was to put something more explicit into their game,
ooh,
or
more explicit
than Jagex, now that they're both kind of rated T, what do you think would happen? Would they be re-rated? Thanks, bye.
Jagex and Blizzard would never do that sort of thing in the first place because they wouldn't want to restrict the market for their game.
Yeah, it like they say right now, they're targeting a mid-teen audience, and that's evident because a month or so ago, there was a player's gallery that was full of breasts.
Okay. And that was the first time Shane had ever seen a breast.
No, Paul had quite a lot to say on that matter, actually. So, you know, that's Paul being Paul.
I don't... The trouble is, if they were to bring more explicit things into the game, as he says, then they would probably, again, as he mentioned, they would probably have to up their ESRB rating or whatever it is. And they would potentially cut themselves off from a source of players. You've got to remember, a lot of RuneScape players are quite young children who probably now and then have their parents looking over their shoulder. And if mummy and daddy suddenly see something explicit, they're going to stop their little darling from playing the game. And therefore, Jagex is going to lose money, so they're not going to do it.
Yeah, my parents still check up what I'm doing on RuneScape, so...
World of Warcraft.
That's to be expected.
Sorry, your parents still check up on what you're doing on RuneScape? How old are you, Shane?
Not like in that way. They
you're 25,
like to see what,
aren't you?
24? Yes, but...
I aged 2 years. 24.
But what I'm saying is it's not like they're wanting to see what... make sure it's safe or anything. It's they just want to see what the graphics look like and how big the world is. That's what I mean by checking up.
Does your mom come and ask you how the farming's going?
No, unfortunately not.
Oh, you wish you would. Did you ever get your plushie of your character with the farming cape?
No, they never did make those. I still want one.
Couldn't you put in a special request?
I don't think so, because there's no plushie line even in the store.
Don't you know who I am? I'm Shane12088.
Anyways. So, Jacobuni, I agree with Brad there. I don't think they can make it that much more explicit, so I think we're done with that one.
That much more explicit? It's not explicit at all, Shane. It's pixels.
Well, sure it was. If you look at this player's gallery, I took offense to that.
Did you lodge a complaint? Were your eyes offended?
No, but I was representing the more conservative players of the game.
Okay, hang on a second. And what was your issue with this?
There's too much exposure.
Hang on a second. To everybody who listened to the show before, you will enjoy this. But I was reading this book the other day. And don't worry, Shane, it's all completely above board. It's nothing rude. And I came across this passage. And it reminded me of a certain someone that it may also remind you of. A moralizer is a person who seeks to impose upon others his view of how they should live and behave. Everyone is entitled to a view about what counts as acceptable behavior, and everyone is entitled to put it forward as eloquently and forcefully as he can. But moralizers go much further. They want others to conform to their views, and they seek to bring this about by coercion, employing means which range from social disapproval to legal control. They show at least several of the following: insensitivity, intolerance, unkindness, lack of imagination, failure of sympathy, absence of understanding, ignorance of alternative interests and needs in human experience, and arrogance in believing that theirs is the only acceptable way. They defend their actions by saying that they are trying to defend others from harm, thereby claiming not only a monopoly on moral judgment, but the right to decide on others' behalf what is good for them. Does that remind you of anyone?
So, yeah, I agree, that is me, and I perfectly think that's a good idea. I think older people and companies in general have a duty to protect people from this kind of stuff.
Shane, you want Rick Perry to be president, don't you?
No, Mitt Romney, actually.
You want the Mormon?
Yes.
America's never going to elect a Mormon.
Wouldn't you say that that's a little too much from last month?
What do you mean?
That picture I sent you?
Let's have a look. It's not good looking at that and then seeing that name that's in MSN and then, yeah. Untitled. Well, I can see why it doesn't have a title. Would you say that's the worst of them?
Yes. Or maybe this one too, I don't know.
Shadefully got all of these links saved.
No, actually, I'm just pulling them up. I just pulled up the player's gallery while you were...
Okay, I'm sorry, right, okay, I think whatever. This second one you've sent me, I don't see anything wrong with at all. The first one you sent me, yeah, I can see that is maybe... Now, that there's nothing wrong with that third one either. The only one I can see, actually, yeah, that is slightly on the inappropriate side if you've got 11-year-olds playing this game. But if they're 11-year-olds with internet access, they probably seem worse than that.
I never did.
Shane, you lived a very sheltered life. Oh, no, sorry, Shane. Past tense, that was incorrect. You live a very sheltered life. But yeah, I wouldn't say I'm disgusted by that, though. It's... Jagex have obviously thought it suitable to put on their website. Go write to your local congressman, member of parliament.
You know, I don't know why I didn't, but I was actually going to send something into Jagex about that.
Yes, again, Shane, moralizing. You don't want to moralize. You are not the arbiter of what is acceptable. Nor am I, sadly. Wouldn't that be a fun world?
World would be a lot better if I could say that. Anyway.
No, Shane, it wouldn't.
Thank you, Jack. Don't make me. Next one is from Earth.
Hello, Shane and Brad. Brad,
hello.
Do you still...
I want to be a princess.
Undoubtedly.
And for the real question. What do you guys think of swearing and other various ways people get offended and how they react to it? And Shane, since I'm sure you'll already have enough editing to do with this episode, I won't swear for you. I think some people take it too far, and there's a nice Steve Hughes video that I will link to in the email that sums it up fairly well. Love you guys.
Say you love him, Shane.
No, I will not.
Say you love him, Shane.
I will not say I love him.
Fine, I'll say it. Love you too. There we go. Isn't that nice and warm? Now, moving on to the question. Firstly, yes, I do still want to be a princess. That is perhaps the best quote of all time. And secondly, I think swearing is a disgrace. I'm sorry, I had to say that, Shane. You can bleep it.
Oh.
You can bleep it.
So, you know, the way I see it is that teenagers, particularly in general, most of the time are looking for a reason to rebel against the establishment, whether it be a parent or a teacher or a set of rules set by a city bylaw. So they will take whatever they can and then do that by swearing every other word, you know. Like, I mean, some of the stuff you just hear coming out of people is just plain old bad. So I don't like swearing. I don't think it's something... that people should do. I personally do not swear intentionally. The only time I might do that is if I'm in a game or something. Because, you know, there are times when it just pops out, right?
A moralizer is a person who seeks to impose upon others his view of how they should live and behave. They want others to conform to their views and they seek to be inspired by coercion. In forcing others to comply with their preferences, they show at least several of the following: insensitivity, intolerance, unkindness, lack of imagination.
Okay, are you done?
Yes, I'm done. I'm going to read that every time that you act like a moralizer.
But
anyway.
It just makes sense that it should be like that. Go.
My personal view of swearing is that there is a time and a place where it's obviously completely unacceptable in more formal situations, at work, you know.
School.
And, yeah, anything like that. There are... there are times when I think it is acceptable, generally in more relaxed social occasions, if I'm with friends. Never excessively. I think you've always sort of got to use it sort of with moderation. But, you know, I think that's given your right time and right place, I don't see a problem with it.
Like, if you stub your toe, it's going to come out, right? Or
yeah,
kick
or
something
if you're
intentionally,
saying,
or if you,
or if you're saying how terrible you thought that update was, it's going to come out, isn't it?
Is that your justification for all those times in the past?
It needs no justification, Shane.
Yeah. So, as you call me trying to be a moralizer, you're in essence saying the same thing here. In that, you know, there is a time.
I
and place
am
for it,
saying
and...
the difference between you and me, Shane, when we put forward. Between you and I, apologies, is that I say this is how I conduct myself and this is what I believe. I would look down on somebody who swears every second word because I think that's uncouth, but I would never wish to tell that person that they shouldn't do that, they should do things the way I do them. And that's the difference between you and me. You want people to do things the way you do them because you think that everybody should do things the way you do them, where I don't. I will think less of people if they don't act to the standards that I act to, but if I don't disavow them of their free will to act as they wish.
Okay. Are we done with that one? Since we both said what we think?
Yep.
Alrighty, thank you, Earth. Next one is from RRMan100 and, emphasis on the and this week, or this time, Sorensen57. And just a note, Sorensen57, you did submit a text question as well, but typically if somebody submits an audio question and they submit a text question, I'll take the audio question over the text question and give the text question slot to someone else.
Duh. da, 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 da.
Get to the point.
Da, 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 da,
this da, is da, RSBNB update da, da, questions for the month of August 2011.
Episode 3, Shenanigans.
That title's almost as bad as yours, Shane.
Sup, Shane? This is capital R, capital R, M-A-N, 100.
And alongside him today is Just Sorensen, 57. Yeah. Shane, a couple of days ago, I received a 3-day mute for saying a fruitful word. With the recently introduced chat filter, do you think it's fair to ban players who swear around other players that have got their chat filter off? Because personally, I think it's a piece of...
And I think I'll stop you right there, Sorensen. This is how you got into the trouble in the first place. And now I have no one to talk to.
Well, maybe if you went round RuneScape and made a few friends, you wouldn't be in this trouble.
Well, that's a low blow, my friend. I hope you enjoy using Quick Chat. But anyway, my question today is referring to the double XP weekend, which should occur, if my calculations are correct, sometime in the month of September. I'd simply like to crack your skull open and just ask you, what do you think are the best skills to train during this double XP weekend?
Herbalore does seem like the best option to do for a double experience weekend.
Well, I don't know. I've got a bit of Shane in me at the moment. I feel like doing some farming.
I think a little bit of Shane.
Did you just say I've got a bit of Shane
everybody
in me?
One time or another.
That's true. That's true.
Waiting, Shane.
Oh, and I think that's us. As always, this is RMM 100.
I can only use Quick Chat.
That's Sorensen, by the way.
It's time for Shane's quiz of the week.
Ba-da-bum.
If the plural of cactus is cacti, then what's the plural of compass?
It's compasses. Everybody
that's
knows
right.
that.
And he did say that's a bit of Shane in me, so.
That's, he shouldn't say that, Shane. Nobody should ever say that.
Oh, I'd be so happy if there was a bit of Shane in everyone, you know? So, Quick Chat filters. If someone has their filter off, should they get muted?
I'm sorry, Shane. Could I just.
For saying
could I just. Can I just rewind there? Can you just say what you said again?
Why? I don't get it. I'm having a bit of Shane in them.
In everybody.
Yeah, so? I don't get what the heck you're laughing
okay.
about.
Okay, let's move on. Let's move on. That's definitely a clip show one. Should you be muted? So I'm taking from that, again, this is something else.
Yeah,
we
have a
about.
Chat filter now, something filter. That you didn't know about. Like, you can turn the profanity filter on and off.
Okay, in that case, if there is a profanity filter and somebody has it off, then I'm going to qualify this a bit. If it's just general swearing, as in if I'm, you know, I'm just saying, oh, F-U-C-K, this quest is S-H-I-T, then no, that shouldn't be punished. But if you were directing those words at somebody, regardless of whether or not the filter was on, then yes. So if it was, you know, aimed at somebody, aimed as an insult at somebody, then yes, you should have been muted. If it was just using it as a verb, then no.
All right. I'm going to agree with you there pretty much the full way in that, yeah, you know, if it's just out random and about, and if somebody says it and gets muted and their filter's off and they get offended by it, no, that should not be a mutable offense. But if it is aimed at insulting someone, it should be looked at. I don't know if it should be a complete mute right away. It should be looked at in terms of the level of the insulting the person and basically how it came about, something for the ban muting committee, whatever they're called, to look at. That's what I'm going to say on that one. And, you know, really, just I think keeping the filter on is a good thing if you're at all offended by that, and it's not something that should really be taken lightly if the filter is I mean, not something you should overreact to if the filter is off. And if it is really offensive attacking you, then yeah, it should be looked at. So that's what I think on that one.
Moving on.
So double XP weekends, bonus XP weekends. You took part in one of these, right?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, basically what happens is for an entire weekend from noon Friday English time to the start of Monday English time, basically you get a certain amount of XP, and it starts at 2.7 times and gradually trickles down to 1.1 times over the period of 11 hours played. So you kind of got to figure out what you want to do. And last bonus XP weekend, I did construction, so, and runecrafting. My choices are always to use it on the most expensive skills or the most tedious skills. In that case, for me, are construction and runecrafting. So that's how I go. If you find a certain skill tedious, use your bonus XP on that.
Yes.
I'm just trying to think if I... Oh, and then with the rest of my... I did magic, so... You know, it, really, at the end, it's just plain old playing with a bit of a bonus, so... Just go for the skills you find the most tedious, or if you're money-wise, go for the skills that are most expensive that you can save money on. Like, for instance, if you wanted to play Stealing Creation and get the Sacred Clay Hammers, it might be worth it to save those until after the bonus XP weekend and do something else for the bonus XP weekend that's expensive. So, just think.
What's the most expensive skill currently?
Oh.
If you were going to buy your way to 99.
Oh, man. Well, they're all expensive. I mean, Herblore is so expensive now. It cost me 70 million back in 2007. Now it's got to be at least double that to get 99. Summoning is also expensive. Prayer is expensive. Construction's expensive. So they're all expensive.
That's a good answer.
Same level of degree, those ones, yeah. Smithing is okay. Crafting is okay. Because you can make the money back a bit if you do the right kind of thing, but definitely not Herblore. Not in this day and age.
Did you get 99 Herblore, am I dreaming?
Yes, I did. That was my second 99.
How many 99s do you have now?
7. I have farming, Herblore, woodcutting, fire making, agility, attack, and magic, and fletching.
So you never got fishing then?
No, I didn't.
Quitter. How high did you get?
90.
That's pathetic. Didn't even get halfway there.
Other things came up.
Didn't even get halfway there XP-wise.
Other things came up.
Quitter.
So. Anyways. But I did get 99 agility. That's one I am proud of.
You got that just before I left, didn't you?
Yes, that's right. So. Then I got magic last year. So.
Was that expensive?
Last year in September, actually. No, that was about 12 or 14 million. Kind of light in the retrospect of things. I did the string jewelry spell. Because the idea is that you buy the amulets, and then you can sell them back to this to the rogue trader in Varrock for 140 each. Flat.
There's not a lot of clicking.
No, string jewelry is an automated spell. You just click it once and it does an entire inventory.
Well, that's cheap, isn't it? You should
that's
click.
Why I did that over Alking.
Every amulet.
That's why I did it over Alking. Anyways, back on track now. Thank you, RRMan100 and Sorensen57. Next one is from Papero.
Greetings, superfluous Shane and Grody guest, do you have any allergens? Which retail stores do you do your clothes shopping at? And what lies in the shadow of the statue? Thanks, Pajero.
So are you allergic to anything?
No, I used to get hay fever when I was younger, but I don't get it now.
Okay. For me, my main things I'm allergic to are, cats heavily,
lactose.
Dogs not so much. Yes, that too, lactose intolerant. Okay. We can mention that one.
Girls.
And, no. And, cigarette smoke.
You're allergic to cigarette smoke? So what happens if somebody smokes by you?
Well, if someone smokes by me, my nose gets all plugged and then I'm plugged for the next 24 hours or so.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Don't fall in love with a smoker.
No. But yeah, you're funny you mentioned the lactose intolerant thing. When we were out the summer and I was doing my meetup with Kala, Pat, we went out to eat, and you know, it just happened, the place nearby just happened to be an Italian food place, and you know, this, I ordered this garlic chicken thing, and first thing was no cheese on the potatoes, please. Okay. And then come back. Yeah, this is in kind of a garlic cream sauce, so I had to kind of change what I ordered there.
So you were really difficult.
Yeah, and the thing is that he was kind of laughing the entire way through.
I hope you tipped heavily.
No, we don't tip heavily.
Shameful.
Anyways, yeah, so that's what I'm allergic to. You're not allergic to anything, okay? Where do you do your retail clothes shopping?
All over the place.
Okay.
I don't buy from one particular shop. I get my shirts from work from a shop called... well, it's not a shop, really, but it's... they have shops. A shop called Duchamp. I think I've showed you before. Quite brightly striped shirts. Quite expensive as well. But just like general casual clothing, just all over the place. Don't really shop at one shop. I don't buy a lot of clothes, generally.
Yeah, I'm in kind of the same boat here. I don't particularly take joy in clothes shopping. I, if anything, get one new shirt a year, and that's pretty much it. So
one new shirt a year.
Yeah, yeah.
They're all the same color.
Yeah, that's right.
What color do you wear?
Navy.
Okay. What trousers? What color trousers?
Black.
Are they jeans? Do you wear jeans? Do you ever wear jeans?
No, Shane? I don't wear it. I don't wear jeans.
Why, are they too jazzy for you?
No, I just don't. I don't see. I don't know. I just don't.
So, what are the types of trousers you wear then?
Sweatpants, like, usually here at home.
Sweatpants?
Yeah.
Oh, I'd never.
Yeah,
I don't
sure.
own a pair. I don't own a pair of those, and I'd never wear them. Only the lower classes wear sweatpants.
And what class are you, my friend? You the proletariat, or what are you?
No, you're definitely the proletariat. I'm the bourgeois. Bourgeois. I can never say that.
It's because it's French. Hard. Okay. Thank you, Parker, man. I just want to get these Shane's... questions. I just want to get these. I mean, sorry, Papero. I'm sorry. Moving on to Parker, man. I just want to get these done before Brad starts swearing anymore.
Shane's slowly losing the will to edit.
Well, yeah, I mean, I haven't had to edit swears out. Like, it's been sparingly
Shane,
over the past year and a half.
Shane, if you wanted me on the show again, you know the hazards that entails. Get on with it.
Alrighty. Thank you, Papero.
And any other hosts for this week's episode of RSVNB Update? Sorry, my last failed question. My little brother walked in the room. My question this week is, Kirk... or Picard. Thanks, and keep up the good work.
Have we had this question before? I'm sure we've had it in my time.
Yeah, probably. What
isn't your favorite's
it.
Your favorite's Picard, isn't it?
Yes, I'm going to say Picard.
Why?
He's just a more uses his head more than uses the weapons.
So why do you like him then?
Because he's the more diplomatic one?
You're not diplomatic.
Sure
You're
I am.
Partisan.
Oh, no, I don't think so.
Shane is
not when it
partisan.
Comes to things that count.
Yes, but, you're hugely partisan.
Yeah, Picard, what about you?
I have no preference.
Okay, because you've never watched the show. Sorry, Parker, man. I was
I'll take Picard because he's played by an Englishman.
Yes, that's true. An Englishman playing a Frenchman in the show.
Mm. Bloody French. So.
Anyways, this last question did not give us a name, unfortunately, so we are just going to call you Unknown. Please remember to include your name when sending questions in. I realize when you send in a voicemail, typically when you leave a message at someone's place, you don't leave your name because it will say that your caller ID and stuff, but we don't have that, so we don't have your name. Say your name when you leave a voicemail, please.
My name is Shane, and I have a problem.
Hello, Shane. This is Mac Fanboy. Yes, I also got ripped off buying a Mac. It's just how it happens. My question here is, have you ever lost a pet? I lost a dog that I've had for 4 years, and it was really, really sad. Please don't have my voice, too.
That's clearly fake.
Have you ever lost a pet? What kind of pet was it, and when did you lose it? And how did you feel about it? Thanks,
see, look,
and have a
the mask
show.
Slips. Just there. There were times then when he was reading that where his voice reverted back to what it is normally. That was clearly faked.
Okay, if you say so. So?
Have I ever lost a pet?
Skipping the... Yes.
Macs are bad, yes, we all know. I'm
no,
sitting
they're not.
About 3 foot away from one and I'm very tempted to kick it.
So what are you using right now?
I'm using my PC.
Well, I was thinking, why don't you use the Mac there since you have it?
It's not mine.
It'd be a better experience.
Oh,
okay.
I don't like it.
Oh, you're not allowed to touch it?
Oh, I'm allowed to touch it. I choose not to.
Okay. Okay.
I would kick it though. I'm just sort of raising my foot now, quite menacingly.
Okay. So.
I'd never hear the end of that.
No, you wouldn't.
No, not from you.
Not from me or her.
Or her. Okay.
Pet.
Yes. Shane, do you want to talk about this since it's affected you more than it affected me?
Yeah. See, last year he came on the show in July or June, whenever that was, and he neglected to tell me that George, the RSBNB bird, died.
He did only die in July.
Okay.
Yeah, he died in yeah, early July of last year.
So why didn't you tell me?
Because
I had to ask how George was.
Because I don't know. It's not the sort of thing I generally gave you regular updates on. He was a budgie.
Was it natural causes?
It was not. Well, yeah, he was quite old. I mean, they only lived to about, I think, what is it, 7 to 9? He was 8 years old. They don't have a particularly long lifespan.
Yes, but unfortunately, no. Fortunately, I can't have pets. So I don't have to have that problem.
Can you get a water dog like Obama?
I could, but I don't want something to clean up after. You know, if I'm
going
to get a pet, I'll
your
get, like,
mom's
a
already
pet
got enough of
something.
That with you, and your sister.
Ha 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 ha.
How is your sister?
Yeah,
by the
that's
way?
Exact. Oh, she's good. She's good. She's good. So, yeah, even if I could get a pet, I don't think I would, because I just don't want to have to clean up after something that can't go to the bathroom itself, so.
It's called house training, Shane.
Yes, but still, there will be accidents from time to time.
As there are, no doubt, with you.
Hey, I haven't had an accident in, like, 20 years.
The fact you even felt the need to, like, give us a time frame. Five years.
No, I just say. Well, no. Oh, right. Okay, 21? 22? Since I'm 24?
23? 24? I don't think I ever wet the bed.
I don't remember wetting the bed.
Don't you?
I just felt the need to say that because you said, you know, sometimes. You have accidents, so I just had to say no, I haven't in that
Shane,
long.
You should have learned that doing the show with me is that I make suggestive remarks like that every 5 seconds.
Anyways, thank you for that question. Thank you for the audio question, everyone. On to a couple of text questions now. First one from Ben. Hey, guest, a guest scheduled that you should know. I.e. Brad. During my break, Jagex removed the objective system and replaced it with the definable goals and the task system. As I understand, it generated goals based on the skills and actions of a player. Is it possible that RSBNB could have a calculator in the future that would do something similar? Love, Ben.
They removed the objectives.
Hi, Shane. Yeah, what they did is you remember you could only have one objective at a time, right?
Oh, yeah.
they implemented my suggestion. You right-click on a skill, and you can set an XP target or a level target.
And are they all displayed on that former XP
yes,
tab?
Yes, they're all displayed on that when you mouse over. So
that's Drag X, listen now. To Shane. How scary.
But an RSBNB calculator that would tell you what to do based on your recent actions and of your character... tricky. I
Come
personally
on,
don't see
wizard.
Well, I mean, yes, I mean, sure, we could whip something like that up, but I don't see how it would be useful when we could be working on more important things.
Like?
Getting content out the door.
How is the databases thing going?
I'll give you an update after.
Badly, then, so. I presume.
No.
It's not been released yet.
Anyways.
Content
so, Ben, if you have any specific ideas on this, shoot them my way. I'm not making any guarantees because unless it's something that's entirely compelling, chances are we'll want to focus on our predefined set of objectives.
Like farming.
Yes. Well, no, other things too, but things I can't talk about. So, next one's for you.
Oh, this means I've got to actually sit up and read. Where are we?
Comic-Con.
Hello, RSPNB Update hosts. I'm a recent listener and first-time questioner. That means you won't have a clue who I am. Lucky you. Shane, I've always wondered why 120888. Was it a number you might decide on, or was it just random? I'll answer this question, because I know the answer. Mike picked it, and then Mike started playing RuneScape before Shane. Mike picked 120888, probably randomly, I think. It was random, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, and then Shane copied Mike. There we go.
And then you copied me on Dig.
Yeah, my Dig account is called Brad12088. For the fun of it. And next question, other hosts and Shane. What has been your best monster drop? Also, how many visages have you had, if any? What is my best monster drop? I don't think I've had any that have been that great. None certainly to write home about. I can't think of any. I don't think I ever got any Barrows items at the Barrows. Isn't that depressing?
I think you got a war spear once or something.
No, I didn't get a war spear.
No?
Didn't get anything that good. I think I may have got a helmet at one point. Really going down. I never got any good drops, and I certainly never had any visages.
Okay. As for me, the best monster drop was a part of a team effort between Mike and myself. There was a point in time when we were doing the Kalphite Queen, back when the chains were about 28 million GP worth. We got one chain out of about 400 kills, so that was the best... thing I ever got.
I remember that. You used to buy sharks off me, and I would never thought to ask you what you were using them for.
Yeah.
I can't remember if I sold them to you at a discounted price. I think I did.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I think I did.
Maybe.
The trouble is, I can't remember what the going rate was for sharks. And I think I used to sell them
about
like
1,000.
And no, I definitely gave you a discount then, because I remember selling them for like 600 gold pieces each. To Mike, anyway. I probably didn't give you a discount. I gave Mike a discount.
Oh, okay. And aside from that, I just got a few dragon skirts, one set of plate legs, a medium helmet, and a dragon two-hander.
See, okay. He's got loads of brilliant drops. I've not got anything on that level. But
what?
I never
Those
really
aren't brilliant.
Better than what I've got.
You have any idea how much you know how much a dragon medium helmet is?
It's probably like 50k now, isn't it?
61k.
I remember when dragon mediums were like 2.5 mil.
Yep. Also, the half shield now is only 65k, the left half that you get from a monster.
I remember when that was like a million.
Yep. So.
The good old days when prices were grossly inflated and the markets had not yet been hit with oversaturation. I remember them fondly.
Thank you, Kamikaze. Next one is from Lord Steamo, dear young and restless Shane, and proud and prejudiced Brad. Proud and prejudiced.
If you're trying to rip off the Jane Austen novel, that's Pride and Prejudice, not Pride and Prejudice. But I guess if you're trying to say that I'm proud, it'd be Pride and Prejudice, wouldn't it? Maybe yes. I'm overanalyzing.
Jane,
this.
Who inspires you the most?
Me.
No. The people that inspire me the most are the small business people who start off with nothing and work their way up to a huge business and get bought by somebody like Google or something, or in the event of weapons and stuff, get hired by military contractors.
Because that's something that Shane will never possess the interpersonal skills to be able to do.
Brad, what genre of music do you listen to, and who's your current favorite band?
My music tastes fairly eclectic. It's generally sort of rocky stuff like the Foo Fighters and the Killers. But I do quite like classical as well. My favorite band? I don't really have a favorite band, as in far and away beyond all the others. I just sort of listen to music intermittently. There we go. That was boring, okay. Wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I was expecting something else, but that's okay. Thank you, Brad. And Shane.
What, were you expecting straight-up gangster rap?
No. I was expecting you to, I don't know, have like a list of top five or something.
I don't listen to music that much anymore. Not as much as I used.
Well, that's good. Neither do I.
Oh, no. I'm becoming more like Shane. Trying to go and throw myself off a bridge.
Alrighty. Our last question now is from Josh. What are some things that would change your mind about RuneScape?
The only thing I really think about RuneScape at the moment is that it's a waste of time and I wouldn't find it particularly entertaining to play, but that's probably just because I have played it for years and I grow tired of it. What would change my mind about it? If I won the lottery and I could afford to spend 12 hours a day playing computer games rather than having to work, that would change my mind. Because if I had a lot more free time, then I'd probably be likely to, you know, play more computer games, and RuneScape may possibly figure in that. So,
okay.
At the present, nothing's going to change my mind on it, so to speak. I just don't have the time to play it, and I have little desire to play if I did have the time.
Okay. Yeah, you know, that's something about RuneScape. I'm still looking for a new skill that I can latch on to, like I latched onto farming, but sadly that hasn't happened yet. I was hoping it would with Dungeoneering, but I guess not. No, I'm not doing fishing. So, anyways. Shane, what do you think is a good way to handle the ever-progressing, annoying bot and real-world trading problem? Well, we had last month our bot expert on. We did have a little chat about that. I think that was episode 318, I believe. So I'm going to refer you to go back and listen to episode 318. That should provide some insight into it. But I want to also just say that, you know, reverting the free trade in Wilderness is not going to stop the problem. Because the problem right now is a problem with the general community. The community doesn't see a value in having an account that isn't botted. I mean, if you look at the bots that are operating currently, the majority are not real-world traders like they were in 2007. They're average players, people who come home from school every day, turn on their computer, and tell RuneScape to do a bot. And somehow they get some justification in that, yes, I accomplished this and it's okay. So,
how do they not get banned?
I don't know. One I was talking to started botting in November and didn't get banned until last month. Or at least rolled back. So.
I thought Jagex sort of used to brag about they had an algorithm that would detect if sort of keystrokes or clicks were in a sort of repeating loop, as bots generally are.
Yeah, they can't auto-ban them. Their current systems don't work for auto-banning them. I mean, like, it just takes far too long for these ones to get detected. And the bots are just way too complex to actually be able to have a reasonable chance at getting banned.
How complex are these bots?
Very complex. I actually looked at the code for one of them, and they are really complex. Previously, they used to do it by looking at the ground and seeing what kind of colors are on the ground for
the actual color pickers.
Like, let's yeah, color pickers.
I was familiar with those.
You should pick something up. But now they use, they can actually hook into the game and actually get the item name of what was dropped. So they're actually able to hook into the game and actually get that kind of info for it.
So they're able to sort of latch onto the code of the game. That's quite scary if you're Jagex.
Yeah, it is. So
we have to hope Jagex they can do fix something that. Couldn't Jagex do something in their code to stop that? Come on, you're a computer scientist.
Well, the thing is, the way I see it is that there's two likelihoods that are going on here. One, they're unwilling to fix it. Two, their engine isn't able to actually take on a fix of their own. Like, they would have to completely rewrite the way the game communicates for this to happen, because it kind of goes back to private servers. Do you remember when private servers first came out?
Oh yeah, that was back in the day.
Basically, that was all because of a leak in the game client. They were able to retrieve the server files as well. So with that kind of a leak, I'm assuming that the bots would work the same way, and that they would hook into the game much the same way that the private servers are able to request resources from Jagex. So, you know, the current system likely is broken, and they would have to undertake a massive change to the way they do things in order to actually make it so that these bots can't hook into the game and actually get the item names and resource numbers.
That's extremely interesting, because if you think about it, RuneScape may have gotten to a size now where to do that is completely out of the question.
Yeah,
so they've got a problem, and they can't fix it.
And when you've got an engine that's got code dating back to 2001, you can't just change the way it works without causing major problems for
Butterfly
your existing
effect.
Code and your what?
Butterfly effect.
Okay, yeah. So,
Shane. Butterfly effect. Everybody knows that.
No, I've never heard of that.
You've never heard of the butterfly effect? Did you take any math class whatsoever?
That was never mentioned.
In chaos theory, come on, are you familiar with chaos theory?
Nope.
In chaos theory, the butterfly effect is the sensitive dependence on initial conditions. I'll start that again. In chaos theory, the butterfly effect is the sensitive dependence on initial conditions where a small change at one place in a nonlinear system can result in large differences to a later state.
Okay, so that's in effect the game engine.
Yes, pretty much.
Yeah, that makes sense.
As in, so, one line of code from 2001 could affect...
Yeah.
It's not chaos.
And that's
really.
And that's how we get the little glitches like we mentioned earlier about being able to create a plank without being on a member's world.
Mm.
So, you know, it's just...
I mean, a hypothetical situation, this is all true, and Jagex, you know, in Jagex, they, you know, all know this is a problem we've got and we can't fix it because essentially our code's outdated and we need to do an entire rewrite. We've been getting by these past 9 years on basically bodged code that, you know, severely restricts our ability to make changes to the core engine. That's a terrible position to be in, isn't it? Because sooner or later, something major is going to break, and they're not going to be able to fix it, and they're going to have to take drastic action. Maybe
that's probably what happened in 2007.
Or maybe they're devoting significant resource, as we speak, and perhaps have been for some time, in an attempt to fix this by rewriting the entire engine. And sooner or later, they will just whip out this massive engine update, and it'll all be fixed.
Yeah, because they did make a post last month, about a month ago, saying that they are working on it, and, you know, there have been little incremental updates along the way that helped a bit, but within a week, it's back to normal. So, yeah, really, like, that's the way I see it after looking at the bot code. It's just a matter of whether or not it's fixable, because...
I understand very little about
the problem. Is that these bots use random number generators and they randomize what they do. They randomize their path is just like a human does. So the question is, how do you pick a random number? How do you pick this random activity out from true random? It's very hard to do. And that's why it's so hard, is because these things have their hooks into the engine, and they can just do that, randomize their path, and then know what they're going to pick up. So,
but random numbers, well, random number generators
aren't really random.
No, aren't particularly random. But if you've got a random number generator that's generating numbers 1 through 6, that pattern, the more that number generator is run, the more the patterns are going to equalize out. And surely then there's something that Jagex can spot that
Taking a number of different paths. Over time, it will just have to.
An equal number of times, more or less.
Yeah. You'll just have to pick out the true random number there and hope that that works. But, you know, I don't know. Like, once again, this is just speculation. I don't know because I haven't been inside their engine code, and it is a very complex engine, as you just have to look at what Java is doing for this game. So,
I'd love to see the internal infrastructure of Jagex.
As a company?
I'd like to see everything.
The game code. Yeah, me too, actually.
I wouldn't be able to make any sense of it. I think it'd be interesting to see it and just the sort of feedback they can get from their servers.
Yeah. And that's another thing, too. You know, Cap, our bot expert who we had on last month, says, you know, if Jagex wanted to, they could look at what the players are doing and know which are bots now and then apply that same kind of trend analysis to the future. That's another way they could handle this thing. So it's really just a matter of what they're doing inside, and we don't really know.
I think, as we have speculated, their inaction is not due to incompetence. It's that for whatever reason, they can't.
Yeah, and you know, if they were designing a new game from the ground up, I have no doubt that it would be bot-free because they would be able to take what they learned with the RuneScape engine and apply it to the new one.
Exactly, so they would have. It'd be interesting to see these large MMORPGs, their engines and how they're maintained. Because, I mean, every company must do it a slightly different way. It must sort of guard
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, MMOs have a defined pattern, so that they will have some similarities. An MMO engine would be mildly different than a first-person shooter engine. So,
Of course.
They're in their own space. So. Anyways, that was interesting how we went off on that.
That was a hell of a tangent. That was like a tangent from the old days when we talked for about an hour, right? Something completely unrelated.
Alrighty, tech news.
Only just onto tech news.
Yes.
Long old show.
So, Google has the Android operating system. There's such a thing as the Open Handset Alliance. And this week, a few days ago, Google unveiled plans to buy Motorola Mobility for $12.5 billion.
Motability is the side of Motorola that deals with the mobile phones, isn't it?
Yeah. That's right. So basically this puts them in the same boat as Apple, is having their own hardware manufacturer. Microsoft, also with Windows Phone 7, I think they're going out to Nokia, I don't know.
Nokia.
It's the same thing. So this will give Google the ability to actually have a set Android device that's like a device that they would market and actually be optimized for the current version of the operating system, which I think is a good thing, you know, because I know one problem with the Android phones in general is that all the different manufacturers have different implementations of the operating system. And, you know, if you're going from one phone to another, I don't think that's a good idea to have things that are so different going from switching between phone to phone, you know? So, you use an HTC, right?
Yep.
It didn't die, right?
I had to get a new one.
Oh, okay.
I actually took it into the show. I actually ordered a replacement, which is actually the upgraded version of the handset, so it's not that bad. And then I took the old one into a repair shop just to see if I could get it repaired. And he actually called today, and he said that the LCD screen had actually, some of its connection with the motherboard had been damaged, and it was beyond repair.
Oh, really? That's interesting. Anyways, They say there's more than 150 million Android devices activated worldwide. 550,000 devices now lit up every day through a network of about 39 manufacturers, 231 carriers in 123 different countries. Let's just give you an idea of how widespread Android is and what this will do for Google. I personally think this is a good thing. Because with the ability to have Motorola, they can actually have a device that shows what Android can do, and it lines it up to compete better, of course, with the iPhone and Windows Phone 7. So, good move for Google. You have anything on that one else?
Nope.
Alrighty. HP is discontinuing operations for WebOS devices. So, WebOS phones, the HP touchpad. So,
why is that?
In essence, well, it's selling very badly, the touchpad. So I'm guessing they're throwing in the towel already on their tablet thing. Which, you know, really isn't... I guess it's just too expensive, because there's something going about how Best Buy said they didn't want their stock anymore of touchpads. So that's really showing
the touchpads. Are the touchpads the ones that were laptops and tablets?
No, this is HP's new tablet device.
But HP did have a line of laptops that you could sort of... You could twirl the screen around and put it down, and it was like turned into like a tablet.
Yeah,
it's not those things.
No, it's not. It's iPad form factor.
Oh, right, just a tablet.
Yeah, so just a tablet. So, you know, it's kind of disappointing, I guess, because, you know, competition is good for a market space, but I guess if they're pulling back, then I guess nobody really did want these devices.
Yeah, this is exactly why they're failing.
It probably does come down to the operating system, I'd imagine. Because if you look at iOS, like, you've used iOS in the past, and it's pretty nice, right?
That's right. It's pretty, so, that's what I'll say.
Yeah, and it works, which is the main thing. So, I don't know, it's just too bad that HP is no longer in this. So, that'll be that. You have an iPad, right?
Yeah.
Would you trade it in for a touchpad or a Samsung Galaxy Tab for an Android one?
No, I'm perfectly happy with my iPad.
There you go. See? That's why the touchpad failed. Anyways, moving on, one more. IBM says new chip mimics the human brain. So basically what IBM has done is they've designed a processor that acts as the human brain does. So neurons, synapses, and all that other good stuff like that. So
pain?
Computing takes the form of... No pain. Computing takes the form of neurons, memory in the form of synapses, communications in the form of axons. So basically what they're saying is that this will allow you to have a supercomputer in the size of a shoebox, and it will be... much, much more powerful than our current computers, because they use a different model. You know, our current CPUs and programming follows linear progression, right? Like a decision tree.
If
condition A is true, do this, and then repeat this
else.
Until certain condition. Else do this. Move
Break.
On down the line. Keep doing those kind of things like that. So that's what we call linear logical programming. This is, in a way, a computer that would mimic the human brain. And, you know, like when you see something, like when you see a person you know, you don't go through a list of if such and such is true. Your brain just knows that that person is who you're looking at. The example they give is that a computer like this would be able to tell if, for instance, produce was going bad just by looking at it, kind of thing. So,
if top is navy blue and trousers are sweatpants, then equals Shane12018.
Yeah, that would work for that case, but it wouldn't work for more complex cases. So.
Like if you had different clothes on, but that's fine, you never would. It's okay.
So, overall, I was quite excited about this, but it's going to be a completely different area than our current computers because, you know, we're not going to be changing our chips in our everyday desktop computers to these because our desktop computers are programmed to be logical units that follow a decision tree. And it should also be noted that these kind of innovations are needed because as we approach 2015, 2016, it's going to become increasingly harder to actually make CPUs because of quantum interference, because the scales they use are getting so low, like the 10, 11 nanometer level is what they're going to get to, and they're really going to start having problems making the modern chips that we use. So it's good that we have little things like this.
Yes.
Alrighty. That's it for tech news. August Skill of the Month update in
thank God for that.
Other things.
It's not Skill of the Month, it's Scottum.
Okay.
Ooh, this is a runaway.
August 2011. Yeah, Dungeoneering. So,
somebody has gained X-Blades. 12 million... What the f...
11.5 million XP gained by X-Blades.
Is it still offline?
Yeah, no,
it's Skill of the Month. It's just one person.
Most times. Let's have a look. Most times it ends up between being a three-person race or a two-person race to the end, and everybody else just stops.
Oh, so. That was a close one. What was that? Oh, agility. 4097 and 3954.
So, X-Blades, 11.497 million XP. Bonsai 99, 3.3 million XP. And Sorensen, 57 at 3.2 million XP. Come on, guys. You guys can still race for second. Keep going. But this is kind of a runway, given that the month is more than half over now, so...
Yeah, is there any, how's he got that in a little over half a month?
Thing is, with Dungeoneering, as you get a higher level, the XP rate becomes faster because the higher level floors give higher level XP.
Right. So it's a bit of a...
And the skill goes to a max of level 120.
Bit of a cascade, eh?
Yes, so. Bit of a runway, but in any case, that's that. You have a pick for us?
I do have a pick. It is a book that I finished reading a while ago, just reaching for it. And it's called, some of you may have heard of it, The Gulag Archipelago. And it's by an author called Alexander Solzhenitsyn. If any of you have heard of him, it'll probably be because of a book called One Day in the Life of Ivan Denisovich, which sort of covers the same subject matter. And it's basically... I've got the abridged version here, but I do also have the unabridged version on my bookshelf, which is 1,800 pages across three volumes. And it's basically a combined work on the Gulag system in Soviet Russia, where they would send political prisoners, anybody they didn't like, horrible conditions, most of them would die. Think sort of concentration camps, if concentration camps, weren't so sort of focused around, certain groups of society that the Nazis didn't like. This was just, anybody who sort of spoke ill of Stalin or spoke ill of Mother Russia or was in any way unpatriotic or in some perverse circumstances was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. Because there are chapters in here about the Soviet secret police, the NKVD, having quotas for arrests. And if they were a bit low on their quota for a certain month and you happened to walk into a police station, chances are you would be arrested and sort of beaten and forced to confess to something and then you'd get sent off to a camp. Completely true. Because apparently Stalin was so paranoid that he couldn't possibly believe that, there weren't people out there plotting against him, conspiring, and people who needed arresting. So if you didn't hit your arrest quota, you'd probably get sent to the camp yourself. But anyway, it's quite interesting because Solzhenitsyn, who is known as an author, if you know anything about literature, you'll know about him, was actually in one of these camps himself on two separate occasions. And so that sort of makes it more lucid at points, and he sort of combines a lot of experiences of people he knows who are in camps and people he met while he was in these camps and things like that. And it was actually quite interestingly, it was about the main period of these camps, which was 1918 to 56, according to the cover. And it was published in the mid-70s, which is when the USSR was still at, well, it was starting to decline, but it was still fairly prominent. And so it was quite a feat to publish something like this. Quite daring, really. But it is, if you're in any way interested in Soviet history, which I sort of am, or you just like something that's quite thought-provoking to read, I'd recommend it. Like I said, you can get the unabridged version if you don't fancy tackling 1800 page three volumes, and the abridged version. You can get the abridged version, which is about 500 pages, just short of. But yeah, it's a very good read, and I would recommend it. And that was what I struggled to. That was what I struggled to pick, because I was. And to insist on Shane that it wasn't an appropriate pick for RSBNB update. But he seemed to think that the listeners needed educating. Are those not your words? Those were your words, weren't
they,
Shane?
Some of them do. Some of them do, yes.
A moralizer is a person who seeks to impose upon others his... I won't stop.
Okay, so what was that again? The Gulag effect? Or the Gulag archipelago?
The Gulag Archipelago, and just another interesting fact, it's that sort of word is now in common usage in English, as you know, you use it to describe, you know, a bad place, don't you, or you know, and it's actually in common usage because of that book.
Yep,
mainly because of that book. But yeah, I'd recommend it. Shane, you should read it. Do you read, Shane?
If you could
read
anything.
Not recently, no. But I have a reading list, so. If you could just put that in the notes, that would be good, so I can Google an Amazon link to purchase it after, that would be good. So, anyways. Achievements of the week. We got two of them this week. First up is a blue hue. We got 99 ranged on August 17th. Congratulations to you. And also Eon, who got 99 done hearing on the 15th.
Congratulations to you both.
So, what have Good you God. Been doing?
What have I... Well, it's been a long time since I've last been on here, so... What have I been doing? Lots. Let's leave it at that. What have you been doing, Shane?
Okay. No, like just this past week. Give us two things that you did.
This past week, I've been on holiday from work. I have the week off, which has been nice, actually. Because, you know... This is the first full week I've had off in about a year. I had days off. Well, actually, no, that's not true. It's the first full week I've had off since Christmas, because obviously over Christmas we have that Christmas New Year period off. And it's been quite nice, but it's Thursday now, and I'm already starting to think Monday will come around extremely quickly, and it'll seem horrible next week at work, because I'll have been used to just lying in bed till, you know, 9 o'clock and... You know, just lounging around all day and doing as I please. And next week I'll have to go and spend the best part of, well, I usually actually probably spend the best part of 10 hours a day in an office, which isn't so bad, but it's, you know, given the choice, it would be hard to resist a life of leisure. That's what I've been doing. I've had a week off.
Okay. As for me this week, I have been working on some content crew stuff. I have also been writing a WordPress extension for RSBNB Informer.
And why does PHP automatically convert strings, Shane? Why?
I don't know. It gets annoying over time, but it's just something we deal with the territory.
Come on, you're a computer science student. Explain that.
That's just the way it's built. That's just the way the language is built.
Is that what your degree taught you? It's just the way it's built.
No. Well, yeah, for languages.
That's some top-class education you got there in Canada.
For software, you can determine why something is doing something or other.
Is the only requirement to get a psychology degree over there just asking the question, and how does that make you feel?
I wouldn't know. since I didn't do that. But I've also been tending the Clan Citadel. I was recruiting people to come up to the Citadel who are in bits and bytes, who did not get their weekly 1,000 quota, because we almost didn't make it. So if you are in the bits and bytes and you do have access to the Clan Citadel, please do your quota for the week of woodcutting or mining, because we really do need those resources to get the next set of upgrades. So
what the hell is this?
If you could do that.
You're gonna have to explain this to me, Shane.
It's the Clan Citadels in RuneScape.
What do they do?
Basically, when clans came out, we created one just for the sole purpose of having one our users could join if they wanted to and they didn't have one already, so we call it Bits and Bytes.
You should have called it The Farming Revolution by Shane 1288.
Nah, that's what
imagine it would be a bit like Mao's Cultural Revolution. Millions will die and suffer, but
okay, I don't think it would be that graphic, but then the Clan Citadels came out, and it's basically player-owned houses for clans. You can get upgrades, and you can have a certain building on there and gather resources and everything. So we need the resources to be gathered, and they're up in the sky. So I'll tell you more about it after, but that's what I've been up to. And I think that means we are done for this episode of our SBNB update. I've been here with
Brad, and I will be back in 5 years' time. Goodbye, all.
Alrighty. And with that being said, I'll see you next week. Goodbye, everyone.
Actually, scratch that, 10 years. I enjoyed this very much. Goodbye.